Check out the Full Press Hockey Podcast with Jim Behringer, the best in the business. It's going
to
be great.
Everyone, welcome to the Full Press NHL Podcast. I'm your host, Jim Behringer, the voice of Full Press Hockey, joined by Ted Starkey, Newsday down in Washington that covers the Washington Capitals. Ted, thank you for coming on the show today.
Absolutely, anytime.
We're speaking of the Washington Capitals. Speaking of the Stanley Cup playoffs, the season's winding down. They had control of their own destiny. It feels like things are just slipping away.
Yeah, it's kind of been a weird race. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, the Caps looked like they were pretty much dead in the water. And they looked like, you know, the Islanders and the Red Wings were going to get in. And then, those teams hit skids, and now the Capitals got in for a couple of days, and now they've kind of hit the skids. I mean, they still, as of right now, they control their destiny, but obviously they went from having to finish okay to having to finish strong. You just wonder if they're kind of running out of gas. But then again, you know, like the Islanders look like they ran out of gas. Red Wings look like they ran out of gas. So it's kind of not a great fight to the finish. It's kind of, you know, whichever two teams are the least worst are probably going to get in.
Yeah, speaking of the Caps, you mentioned it. It does look like they've ran out of gas because they had to make up so much ground to get to that point, to get back into that eighth seed, then sitting in third at first time since January 3rd of this year. And it just feels like maybe Charlie Lindgren's running out of gas. Like, everybody just seems they hit that wall, and maybe it was just the ceiling was just try to get there and hold on.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that always concerned me with Lindgren, just because I believe his maximum games he's played as a professional is 50, and he's going to be approaching that point soon. I mean, even a couple of years ago when he went to the Calder Cup final in Springfield, he pretty much platooned. He was not the guy. I think the goals last night were a little bit bad luck, but, you know, at some point, he wasn't going to keep up that same kind of pace. And the other thing, too, is Darcy Kemper hasn't been great. They called up Shepard from Hershey, and he may end up getting a couple games in basically to spell Lindgren. But, it's just one of those things, you know, that they, like you said, they worked so hard just to get in that spot. And it seems like, you know, once they got in there, they kind of faded a bit. So, but, you know, there's a couple games left, and who knows? Like, none of these teams are really any good. I mean, that's the thing with this playoff race. You know, a normal year, all these teams would be playing just for, you know, draft seeding, and, you know, the cutoff is probably 88 or 89 points, which is not too great.
No. What were the realistic expectations this year? Because you and I were going back and forth about, were the Capitals really a playoff team this year? Like, did the expectations, what were the realistic expectations down in Washington?
I think it was, you know, I think after last year, I don't think people expected that much. I kind of thought they'd be on the bubble. I didn't necessarily think they would get in. I thought they would get in a case like this where, you know, teams like, obviously the Devils haven't had a great season. The Penguins have had a down season. You had a couple teams kind of tumble. You know, Ottawa never came to fruition. Buffalo never came to fruition. So it kind of, everything broke their way. But still, I mean, you know, they finished with 80 points last year, and they were an absolute disaster in the second half. And I think there was improvement this year. And the one thing with the Capitals, make the playoffs or not, with their cap situation is going to be much, much brighter this summer, because I would expect, you know, obviously Backstrom is going to be off the cap. I would think TJ Oshie may be a player who goes on LTIR. And so, you know, they could have $15 to $20 million to spend to shore up some of these deficiencies. They could be a much, much better team next year than they are this year. I mean, this year, if they get in, they're going to be probably five games and out, get a couple home games. But next year, they do have potential. If they use their cap space well, they have a chance to really climb back into actual contention status.
Yeah, for me, I felt like it was like, all right, Washington, Pittsburgh, they're kind of at the end of their runs. We know Ovechkin and Crosby have been tied to everything. And, you know, the Penguins get that big win on Thursday night to inch even closer, because who thought the Penguins would really be here too, because they trade away Jake Guentzel. You're like, oh, okay, if they, you know, maybe they'll kick it. They got within three, then they fall back. Now they've got a nice point streak going, and they're within 1 point. And you only can imagine if they kept Jake Guentzel. And you see, it was like, for me, it was Washington was going to be, okay, Ovechkin goal streak, let's get him Gretzky and see where things happen. But I've been really impressed with Spencer Carberry and the way, and the management, how they've retooled on the fly.
Yeah, and I think we, you know, the biggest thing in Washington, too, was I think the trade deadline, losing Kuznetsov and Manta, I think was actually a plus for them. Because, you know, early first half of the year, I kind of was in the impression that Carberry was a very good coach, but this may not be the best roster for him to use. And I think once they kind of unplug, you know, two talented players, but who didn't necessarily show up every night, you know, you're putting in two rookies who aren't quite as talented, but they're playing hard. And I think, you know, that kind of changed the dynamic of the team. They were, you know, a lot more responsible. I think they were able to kind of push the tempo a little bit more. You see the defenseman now kind of rush the puck more than he did the first half of the year. And I think, you know, he's done a really good job with this team. I mean, obviously, like you were saying, I'm not sure, you know, this team was always going to be a bubble team, and they're really dependent on a couple guys. You know, right now it's Ovechkin. Right now it's Lindgren. You know, and then they can get some scoring from some of the other guys. But, you know, they really need them to be successful. But I think, you know, they're heading in the right direction, which I think, you know, obviously a lot of people in Washington are happy about. Obviously, they'd like to get in the playoffs, but realistically, you know, as I said, they're not going to go very far. But they do have the pieces in place next year that if they play their cards right, they could be right back where they were a couple of years ago.
You mentioned Darcy Kuemper before, and you know, he gets that 5x5 contract, and things have just not worked out for him in Washington. Is this just a case of the defense in front of him? Because we know Colorado won the cup, he was there, but it seemed like they tried to outscore the deficiency in net.
Yeah, no, Colorado was a case. It was like Pittsburgh of the mid-2010s, kind of like their defense was playing offense. They kind of kept opponents on their heels, so they couldn't really attack. And I think that's what the Avalanche did. And I just think with Kuemper, I mean, he was fine when he first arrived. But, you know, this year, it just seems like he lost his confidence. Like, you know, one of the reasons they kind of fell apart last year was Laviolette played Kuemper a lot down the stretch, and he was not very good. And I think, you know, this year, obviously, you know, he's had a lot of tough times winning games. And I think, you know, obviously Carberry hasn't gone to him that much. You know, one of the games he went to a couple weeks ago, he played two periods, he got pulled, and they eventually got, you know, they got a point out of it. But at the same time, you know, you're paying this guy all this money to, you know, really, he's a mop-up goalie at this point. And you can't really turn to him at this point, because if you throw away 2 points, that could be your season. So I would expect, I mean, I think the Caps are going to try to do something, you know, with his contract over the summer. I think, you know, I was saying that they're going to have cap space. I think they collected, you know, my personal theory is with the Mantha deal when they got the second, you know, from Vegas, I think they were going to use that for Kuznetsov to try to have, you know, someone take Kuznetsov contract off their hands. They were lucky enough they got paid, you know, for Kuznetsov, which I was shocked by.
Yeah.
I was fully expecting they'd have to pay for him to take those contracts. So it wouldn't surprise me if one of those picks is used to kind of sweeten the deal to send Kuemper elsewhere, you know, either for a buyout or someone who's just desperate for a goalie. I mean, it tells you something with this, the league right now, you know, the goalie's in just high demand and they couldn't get any nibbles for him. You know, it kind of shows you where his status is right now.
Yeah, it definitely is. And you know, early in the season, you would say, you know, with Washington, you're like, oh, well, it's Dylan Strome, Sonny Milano. If they're your leading goal scorers, you're going to be, you know, in trouble. But you know what? They've been really good pieces for this team, along with with McMichael and LaPierre. Like, this team with the youngsters, with a nice coach in Spencer Carberry, they've really shown that, hey, you know what? All right, yeah, Ovechkin's older. Yeah, Oshie's older. Yeah, Carlson's older. But if we have the right mix, we could still be around.
Yep. And I mean, you look at it too, Ryan Leonard with Boston College is playing well. I'm not sure if he's going to come over next, you know, at the end of the season once the Frozen Four is done. But, you know, he's going to be a nice piece whenever they have that. And obviously, they should get a decent, you know, even if they make the playoffs, they're still going to get a pick in the mid-teens. You know, they're going to be one of the last teams in. So they'll be around, you know, they'll be in that 15 to 17 range probably in terms of picks. So you can get a pretty decent player. But, you know, as I said, I think, you know, Carberry's had a lot of success with younger players. And I think the team's gotten younger, which kind of fits more to what his directives are. I mean, I think, like I said, Kuznetsov and Mantha, I don't think really fit that what he wanted. And, you know, McMichael and LaPierre really do. And I think, you know, they're getting some playoff type experience, which is good. I mean, obviously, they're another group that's going to tire out, because obviously this is, you know, big for them. You know, they haven't been in a playoff race. They're not used to these games every night. But you know, it's one of those things, like, you know, I think they're, you know, this year they could have limited success, but I think the main pitcher is going to be kind of just a general progression into next season. And I think that's looking a lot brighter than it did a year ago. Cause you kind of thought, you know, at the end of last season, what is this team going? You know, are they just going to try to be decently competitive for Ovechkin? And now I think you have a realistic option that this could be a playoff team again, and this can be a really decent playoff team again, which is something I don't think anyone expected.
No, I certainly didn't. I didn't think this team would be a playoff team for a while. I was like, all right, well, they're going to go through their rebuild. Ovechkin's going to get the goal record. And, you know, well, at first it didn't look like he was going to get it at the beginning of the year. He was off to the slow start. I'm like, all right, well, yeah, maybe there's some records that are untouchable, but he's found his mark. And you know what? Good for him, because you know what? I think that's something that would be good for the league if you see Ovechkin pass Gretzky's goal record.
Yeah, and I think the beginning of this year, like, it reminded me a lot of when Dale Hunter was coaching him, you know, back in the early 2010s. They played back a lot more. They weren't very aggressive offensively. And I think, you know, Ovechkin was struggling, but a lot of the other forwards were struggling too. You know, obviously, Strome had a nice year. You know, Mantha was having a decent year. But really, overall, you know, this team was barely scoring over two goals a game, which, you know, for the talent load they have, which is just an underachievement. And I think once you had at the All-Star break, I think you had – there was kind of a, well, if we're losing 5-2, we might as well try to score more than two goals. So I think there was a more concerted effort by the Caps to, you know, have the offense push the puck offensively. They were a little bit more you know, they would take more chances, I think. I mean, I think – funny part is, this is one of the reasons I think when you have the bad goal differential is, you know, we've seen – this team, once they fall behind, they just try to throw everything at the goal. It doesn't always work out for them. But I think, you know, he was a beneficiary of that. And, you know, the power play's been much better. Obviously, you know, that's his bread and butter too. But, you know, yeah, he's gone from, you know, I remember his last slump, and a lot of it was because Dale Hunter played this passive type game where he wouldn't take a lot of chances. And then I think Carberry changed that a bit because he realized – you know, the structure they were doing was a little bit too conservative. They really weren't going anywhere under it, because they were, you know, that road trip, they had the Western road trip going to the All-Star break. They looked like they were just dead team walking, because they, you know, they were getting blown out. They got blown out in Minnesota, in Colorado. They managed to rally for a point in Dallas, but the team just looked, they looked incohesive, and they were incapable of putting 20 minutes of good hockey together.
Yeah, I mean, look, that was the big thing at the beginning of the year. You're like, okay, well, Washington, what are they? And you still wonder what they are, because it's like, okay, they can look great 1 minute, but then the next game they could get blown out. And I think because of their divisional record and teams that they've had success with, New Jersey being one of them, when you win 3 out of 4 games in the division, it keeps you around. Yeah, New Jersey struggled, but they've also had success against the Islanders. They know how to play against the Flyers, and they know how to play against these teams in the division. So, and I think that's a big reason why they are still like where they are in the playoff race.
Yeah, no, I mean, the thing is too, is they play really well when they're up by a goal. You know, it's just strange when they fall down behind by two goals, it seems like they're pretty much done. You know, with a team that can actually score, which is kind of strange, but that seems to be the way it's going. You know, they score first, they can dictate the tempo, they can really control the game. They fall behind, they seem to just fall apart structurally. I mean, like, you know, last night against Pittsburgh, they give up 2 kind of fluky goals, but, you know, they never really recovered. Buffalo, the same thing. They were up early, but then they gave up 2 quick goals to Buffalo. Once they allowed the third goal, kind of the roof caved in. So it's been interesting. You know, obviously, I think that'll change once they add a little bit more personnel. I think it's just, you know, they're not really built to come back from multiple goal deficits. And you just see it. You know, they'll play really well if they can dictate the pace, control everything. But if they don't, you know, they can look really bad at times too.
Yeah. How impressed have you been with guy Rasmus Sandin, who's come over last year at the trade deadline? I thought that was a very, very underrated trade, because, you know, what Toronto gave up and what they got for a player that's not even there anymore. And then, you know, you lose a key piece like that, and Sandin's going to be the backbone of that defense for a while.
Yeah, no, he's been really good. I mean, you know, considering, you know, normally when you trade these guys, you usually get a prospect you don't know about, and he stepped right in, and he was, took a big part of the power play. And, you know, this year he's kind of had more of a role, and, you know, he'll probably get more of a role as time goes by. But, you know, he's been really good. He's been solid. You know, he's a good puck mover. He's good on the offense. And, you know, they got a really good player for, you know, basically a rental. Usually rentals, you don't get a guy who can impact your team for years to come. You know, you usually get a medium-sized pick. Takes a couple years to develop. He's stepped right in and done really well.
Yeah, he has. I've been really impressed with his game down in Washington. I mean, look, they have a lot. There's still, what is it, like 6-7 games left for Washington to get to where they need to be. I mean, Detroit's still there, the Islanders, Penguins, and then, of course, the Flyers and the third in Metro. I mean, who wants this thing, right? It's like, who wants it, right?
Exactly. I mean, you know, the key for the Caps is they still have a head-to-head with Philadelphia. They still have a head-to-head with Detroit. You know, a couple of days ago, if they finished around 500 points wise, it would have been fine. But then, you know, losing to Buffalo and losing to Pittsburgh and getting no points, that kind of changes it a bit. The good news for them is they, as of today, they still control their destiny. That could change tonight if they lose in Carolina. You know, if they win out, they're getting in no matter what. You know, if they win those games against Detroit and Philadelphia, they're going to have a much better shot. And the thing is, you know, like we were saying, that this is not a race of, you know, last year the cutoff was 92 points. The year before that, I think it was 95. You're probably going to have, it's going to be 88 or 89, which is, you know, for this structure, it's probably among the lowest you're going to see. You know, obviously the old divisional structure, you can have a fourth place team with like 60 or 70 points get in. You know, to have a team that's barely over NHL 500 is just, you know, you don't see it very often, but, you know, the Caps are fortunate that way. And, you know, the other teams are too, because they're all, you know, they have the same pattern of, we're going to win like 4 or 5 games in a row, crawl right into the contention, then we're going to lose a couple of games, we're going to fall back. And it's probably going to be whoever is left standing at the end and, you know, who falls back the least before the end of the season. But, you know, it's normally I can kind of handicap these things, but, you know, this year, I mean, if I was to pick two, I'd probably say Philadelphia, Washington, just because Washington has a little bit of edge in the schedule. Detroit has an edge too, but I'm not quite as sold on them. Pittsburgh, you know, they're coming on now, but I'm not convinced they can keep it up for enough games to really hang in there. And the Islanders are, you know, they're not capable. They've won 3 in a row. They probably max out at 6, so they may be like, you know, they'll have like 3-3 or 3-4 at the end of the year, and so they'll be, you know, they'll be around 80 some points, but it's hard to, you know, it's really hard to handicap this. And, you know, honestly, whoever gets in is probably going to be quick fodder for, you know, second in the Metro and the two wild, you know, the top wild card. But, you know, it's an experience for some of these teams.
Yeah, especially a young Caps team, the Islanders. I mean, you know, the Islanders really didn't do anything at the deadline. And, you know, again, their offensive problems have been their offensive problems the whole year. Again, you have that 6-game winning streak, but then you don't get points in 5 straight. So you had the door. The door was open. The door's closed. The door's open. It feels like it's just a yo-yo of who wants it in. Detroit had a chance. It felt like at a trade deadline, Detroit's getting in. Playoffs, okay, but they're coming back. And then all of a sudden, without Dylan Larkin, now everything switched back to maybe potentially 5 teams from the Metro.
Yeah, no, I mean, as I said, you know, a couple of weeks ago, like the Islanders and Detroit were going to be the 2 teams in. And, you know, they both had a big – they both skidded. You know, the Caps caught up. They got a couple points up, and then they're skidding now. You know, Philadelphia, I'm not sure. The one thing obviously would concern me is their goaltending, because obviously they're going to the Russian kid now, and, you know, he could – anytime you have a young goalie come in before shooters learn the tape on him, they're going to be really good or really bad. And, you know, with his size, you know, he can give a little bit of different look, but you just don't know. I mean, and he's not used to it in the Stanley Cup playoff race. And, you know, that's another team that, you know, they didn't have high expectations. They came in, you know, they obviously are very well coached. They're working very hard, but, you know, they're going to run out of gas too. The Islanders, you know, they were kind of burned themselves out early in the year. You know, Sorokin, you know, they were giving up 35 shots a game first half of the season, and he just tires out. And, you know, they had to bring in Varlamov for some of these games, and you wonder what they're going to do in Detroit. Who knows what they do? And like I said, Pittsburgh is, you know, Pittsburgh's coming on, but they're a team dependent on Crosby and, you know, their big four. And if their big four don't produce, they're not going to win games. They're another team that looks really good or really bad. They've looked good you know, obviously the Devils game, the Rangers game, the Caps game, they look really good, but how long does this last? And they're not even in a playoff spot yet. So, yeah, it's – I can't remember a playoff spot like this because, you know, usually it's teams kind of, you know, rocketing towards a spot. These are teams like whichever team is the least worst is going to get in. And I think that's the best description. You know, a 500 record could get some of these teams in down the stretch, which is probably not what you want with that many teams in there.
No, exactly. You don't want that 500 record. And again, it comes down to goaltending. Can you play defense? I mean, look, we know the top two spots in the Metro, the Rangers and Carolina, you know, two of the better teams, probably cup favorites right now to get it, come out of the Eastern Conference. We see what Tampa's doing. They always seem to turn it on with their pedigree. But again, it's goaltending. And, you know, you see the – I want to ask you about Carolina because you've seen them a lot covering the Caps. It's like – it finally felt like this was the year that Carolina just decided, all right, you know what? Forget the playbook that we've had in the past. We got to get to the Stanley Cup final again.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think there's been, you know, they've had some decent teams in the regular season the last couple of years, but obviously playoff disappointments. And I think, you know, this year they really went in, you know, obviously getting Gensel and Kuznetsov. You know, obviously my big question for them is how the defense and goaltending will hold up. You know, it may be who they end up meeting in the playoffs. You know, because I, you know, obviously the Rangers would be tough for them, just because they're not going to have the advantage in goaltending, which obviously is huge in the playoffs. You know, who knows is going to come out of the Atlantic, Florida and Boston are, you know, they're basically looking at another two teams that just hit and miss. You know, Boston could look great one night and they could look terrible the next. And Florida, you know, obviously they had the nice run last year, but you know, the thing you always have to worry about a team coming off a long playoff run is, when does the gas run out the next year? You know, you're playing 100 games one year. Or do you have enough in the tank to go another 100 games? That's hard to say. So, but yeah, it's Carolina. I mean, they're super talented. I mean, they're super fun to watch. You almost wonder a little bit if they're like the Caps of the early 2010s, where they're just, you know, a lot of offense and their defense is what could betray them if, you know, they get up against the wrong opponent. You know, obviously they're going to score a lot. But you know, they're going all in. They're trying to win, you know, they're trying to make sure that they can get through the playoffs and they'll have a decent shot. I mean, the thing with the East is I just think the West is going to, unless there's a massive upset in the West, it's going to be really tough for an Eastern team to win the cup this year, but you know, anything's possible in seven games.
Exactly. You said that anything is possible. And you said it, when does the team run out of gas? Because I think we saw it last year with Tampa against Toronto. Yep. They finally started to run out of gas against Toronto, even though they probably were the better team in the series. You could see how that they were running out of gas. And I think that time off you're seeing now that they're healthy again. And that's a team to me I won't want to play in the playoffs.
Agreed. I mean, you know, even when they were down with the wild card crop, I thought like I had very little doubt Tampa was going to make it in. You know, I thought you know, it was down. They were all basically around the same points. I said, well, I think Tampa will be fine. And, you know, and Tampa's played – how you should play when you're looking for a playoff spot. They've won games, you know, they pulled away from the pack and they've done what they need to do. None of these other teams have done that. You know, they've all had opportunities to really solidify themselves and they just fall flat. And, you know, I definitely would not want to be a division winner and face Tampa in the first round because that is no reward at all.
No, especially if you're like the New York Rangers, you're like, all right, we got to play these guys again. Like,
yeah,
do we really want to play these guys when we know what they can do in the playoffs?
Yeah, and it's, you know, the playoffs are all about matchups. You know, a seeding is great, where you finish is great, but you know, all these teams have teams they can beat, and all these teams have teams they can't beat. Like, I always joke with the Caps because you know they cannot beat Toronto. Fortunately for the Capitals, they probably won't play Toronto, but you know they just. They're too fast for the Caps, and the Caps aren't able to really put the pressure on the Leafs. So, you know, that's an example of how just individual matchups really will determine who wins these series. It's not who's going to get the wild card, who's going to get first, who's going to get second. It's just which teams match up best and, you know, which teams get that matchup. And, you know, if you get some favorable teams in your bracket and get some favorable teams along the way, you're going to have a much easier time trying to get to the final.
Yeah, I mean, look, I go back to the year Tampa beat Florida in the second round, but in the first round, Washington played Florida. And I mean, to be honest, I thought the Capitals were going to win that series if they didn't blow leads.
Yeah, and you know, that was one of those things that, you know, they had a decent shot. Obviously, their goaltending betrayed them a little bit. That's eventually why they ended up, you know, getting a change in net, because I don't think they were sold on Vitek or Samsonov. So they went out, and obviously one of them worked out with Lindgren, Kemper, you know, obviously not so much. But, you know, obviously I think they found a goalie they can go with. It's just not the guy they're paying a lot more money to. But, that's the thing with, and, you know, the thing, like I was saying with Carolina, is that the one issue I would have is goaltending. I mean, I think if the Caps get in, you know, if Lindgren plays well, they'll have a puncher's chance against some of these teams. You know, obviously the Rangers have goaltending. Florida's got goaltending. Boston's got goaltending. Tampa's got goaltending. Some of these other teams, you know, Pittsburgh with Jari or Ned, am I going to buy seven games on that? No. The Islanders, yes. Sorokin and Varlamov are very good. Question is if their offense shows up. You know, the Flyers, obviously, that's to be determined. Who knows?
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously the Red Wings haven't been great down the stretch. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, a lot of these teams are well-matched. I think there'll be a lot of upsets in the East. Just I don't think there's a whole lot of separation between these teams, at least not like in a normal year.
No, I agree with you. And it feels like, we had the wacky and wild East, and it feels like the West is just, I think it's finally set. I think the LA Kings now, with the loss by St. Louis in Nashville the other night, I think with LA going up 7 points, I don't think anybody's catching. I think those are the eight teams in the West.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny too, because, you know, both conferences looked like they were set about, you know, beginning of March. It looked like the East was pretty much set. The Washington was out, Pittsburgh was out. You know, it looked like, you know, there was clean separation. There was going to be no one catching up. And the West went to form and the East did not.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's going to be wild in the East, especially, you know, as we come down the stretch, because everybody talks about, and I think it's a great place, where we could start to wrap up things, is everybody talks about all expanded playoffs and adding playing games and everything. I'm like, you're watching it unfold right now. Like, this is your play-in. Like, yeah, these 82 games, these last games are your play-in to get into the playoffs.
Exactly. And then, you know, it's obviously, it's been kind of weird how the games have unfolded, but it's still, you know, considering there's five teams for two spots, you know, with less than 2 weeks to go in the regular season, that's a lot of fun. I mean, obviously, it's nerve-wracking if you're watching the teams, who are kind of throwing away their chances to get in, but, you know, it's still, you know, it beats – like it beats the West, where you have, you know, everyone, like you said, everyone's set. You're basically playing, you know, preseason two for 2 weeks. You're going to have meaningful games. And then, you know, the schedule was kind because a lot of these teams are playing each other. So there's going to be a lot of meaningful games coming down the stretch. And, you know, everyone talks about the schedule. You look at the five teams, they're all going to have easy games. They're all going to have tough games. But this time of year, you know, those bad teams are playing for jobs. And they're looking to, you know, kind of pull some upsets before they go home for the summer. And the good teams, you know, the Capitals, give you an example, they play, you know, they play Tampa, Boston, two of the last three games. Those teams are probably going to be set by the time the last week of the season rolls around. So are they going to be playing for anything? You know, they'll be rolling lines or sitting players. So, you know, it's really unpredictable. And this year is probably more unpredictable than anyone I've seen in recent years.
Well, was it Washington and Philly play last game in the regular season, correct?
Correct. Yeah, they were last game. And then I believe it was that the Islanders play Pittsburgh the next night. So you have, you know, two really massive games ending the season. So, and I believe was that the Capitals still play the Red Wings. I want to say the Islanders, I think they play one of the other contenders. So it's, you know, there's a lot of team. You know, it could be, especially with Detroit in the mix, it could be like these teams never play each other. That's not happening in this case.
Yeah, and they are. And I think the Islanders also played New Jersey, even though the Devils are out of it. But the Devils could play spoiler because they could knock the Islanders out of contention or, you know, make life difficult for them when they go into that Pittsburgh game. I mean, so much exciting hockey down the stretch.
Yeah, and Buffalo has a factor too. I think they play Philadelphia tonight. They play Washington next week. You know, and they're another weird team because, like we were saying, they were so disappointing, but it seems like whenever they're eliminated or virtually eliminated, then they decide to show up. And, you know, they played really good hockey over the last stretch, and it was way too late, but
yeah,
it's kind of like, you know, when the pressure's off, they really succeed. And, you know, we'll be interested to see how Philadelphia does, because obviously, you know, they're another team that they could fall out of the playoff picture very soon if they don't turn it around. And, you know, they would look like they were secure. You know, I think they were 5 or 6 points up about 2 weeks ago, and now they're basically a 1 point up on everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting down the stretch. So many great storylines, especially around Washington, Philadelphia, that East. The wild and wacky East this year is just been so crazy to watch.
It's just that it's nuts. Well, you know, I can't remember this kind of race. You know, obviously it's been a little different because teams, you know, kind of are bipolar. They either play really well or play really terribly, but they're all doing it. You know, it's not just the Capitals. You know, all these teams have looked really good at times, looked really bad at times, you know, and, you know, it's funny too, because like I was saying, you know, you're kind of all looking to the future, all these teams. You know, I think Washington has a pretty much brighter future than they did about 12 months ago. You wonder if Pittsburgh and the Islanders, if this is the best thing for them, because, you know, their management is kind of like, oh, we, you know, the Lou Lamoriello quote, we like this team. And, you know, they've been kind of doing this for years, and, you know, you kind of wonder, they really probably should have a shakeup. You know, is it the best thing to keep bringing these guys back? And, you know, same thing with Pittsburgh. You know, is it the best thing for them to bring this roster back?
You know, and
Philadelphia, obviously, they're kind of more in the boat with Washington. You know, obviously, they weren't expecting to be in the playoffs, and, you know, they're kind of building towards something. And Detroit is the same way, but yeah, it's going to be weird. That's all.
It's going to be weird.
It's going to be. You're probably not going to know the matchups until the last 2 days of the regular season, and you probably may not know who gets in. You know, because that the thing too with Pittsburgh and the Islanders. You know, Philadelphia had that extra cushion of being in the Metro, so Detroit couldn't catch them. You know, even if the Caps, you know, Caps got close, you know, they could always fall to the wild card. Now it's like everybody can pass Philly too. Get that three spot, and it, you know, it kind of adds a different quirk to it. You know, Detroit's technically got a little harder road because, you know, they really have to pass, you know, they have to pass one team in addition to the Metro team, you know, whereas all these other teams have to just make sure they're higher than Philadelphia and all the other Metro teams. So it's a little strange.
It is very strange. And you said it, like the roster rebuild, right? Like the Islanders probably should have done it after they went back-to-back conference finals. They probably should have started getting younger. Pittsburgh probably should have done it after 2022 when they lost to the Rangers. They didn't do it. And like the MO with like Lou Lamoriello, and I've seen it so many times, especially in New Jersey, it's just like get in, and then losing a first round, and then you get lucky here and there. It's like, no, how about we just like put a team together that can sustain like wins and try to go win a Stanley Cup, because playing that way for 82 games does not hold up.
Yeah, I mean, I think, too, you look at the Islanders, they had the two – even the conference final runs, I think you have to – when you're a good manager, you have to kind of realize that, you know, you're sometimes given a lot of luck and a lot of breaks. And, you know, the pandemic year, they beat Washington in the first round, you know, who was – they were kind of a mess, you know, especially after the break. They beat Philadelphia, who really wasn't that great. Then they ran into Tampa, lost in six. The next year, the final year of the Coliseum – you know, they played Pittsburgh, who was not, you know, Jarry is not a great playoff goaltender.
Mm-mm.
The second round, they played Boston with Rask, who was hurt. And so you have to kind of be honest with yourself. Say, yeah, we got to the third round. Are we really the top four team in the NHL? Probably not. We need to work on it. But they really haven't. I mean, you look at it. They had the biggest ad they had was Bo Horvat, you know, was about a month before the deadline last year. You know, obviously they have an all-world goaltender, but their problem is they have about four guys who can score. When they don't, they're not very good. And, you know, the record shows this is why they're so streaky, because, you know, when guys like Horvat and Barzal can score, they're competitive. When they don't, there's not enough other guys who can pick up the slap. And then you look at Pittsburgh, you know, bringing in Dubá from Toronto, you know, he wanted to do a splashy ad. It's very similar to what he did when he added Tavares, you know, in Toronto. It's a good ad paper-wise, but do you really want to spend – that much money on your core four that you don't have money for depth? And, you know, he came in, they're still weak on goaltending. Obviously Ned's been good the last couple of weeks, but, you know, how long does that last? Their defense is not great. Letang is old. Carlson's great offensively, but that's not necessarily what they needed. And so again, you know, those two teams, is this the best for them? You know, cause they're probably going to get in, you know, Pittsburgh will probably get run, or the Islanders would probably, they probably put in more of a fight because of the goaltending, but they're probably not getting out of the first round. Is this really long-term what's good for them? You know, I think you could say Washington, Philadelphia, and Detroit, they get in, it's a learning experience, it's fine. But, you know, Pittsburgh and the Islanders, they get in, it really doesn't help them down the road.
No, I agree with that. And again, you brought up the point, like, did Pittsburgh really need Carlson? No. Did Toronto really need Tavares? No. The one in Toronto, okay, it's worked out because, you know, look, he's the reason why they got to the second round, but did they really need Carlson in Pittsburgh? No, they didn't.
I mean, he is exactly not the type of defenseman they need. It's similar to what Buffalo does. They load it up on puck-moving defensemen, which are great, but you also need some guys who can stay at home and, you know, actually play defense. And I think Carlson was, you know, last year had a great year in San Jose, but obviously the Sharks weren't good at all. That doesn't, you know, he won the Norris, but, you know, the Sharks were an awful team. And, you know, does he really add much that Pittsburgh actually needs? Not really. You know, they're already a team that pushes the tempo. They, you know, they rush the puck a lot. So, you know, it's an expensive ad. You know, he's obviously a very good player, but it's, you know, kind of, if it precludes you from getting what you actually need, which in Pittsburgh's case, some depth forwards, some depth defensemen, and also probably, you know, you probably need a solid netminder. I mean, it's amazing to me that Jari has stayed there because he's obviously a good regular season goalie, but, you know, I remember a couple of years ago when he played the Islanders in the playoffs, he was probably the Islanders MVP because he was so porous. You know, the Islanders would not get much offense, but he would allow goals that you would just shake your head and said, this is not going to win you any games. And, you know, I'm curious with Pittsburgh. Like, as I said, they can get in. I kind of think they're going to run out of gas just because they've kind of pushed a lot. But even if they get in, you know, what is – losing in five to somebody, to Carolina or to somebody, really going to be worth to them? Because if they're convinced they're on the same right track, it's probably not going to work out for them.
No, I agree with you. I think, and the fact that they moved Jake Guentzel and they don't have him right now for this run, just says it's like, all right, the dude wanted to stay, but he couldn't because they needed to go younger and they made a tough decision. And this is where they are. And now they're battling with the Islanders. They still got past the Islanders. They still got past Detroit, Capitals. Like, I think there's just too many teams for them to pass to get into the playoffs. And if they do, great. Maybe Crosby's up for MVP. But I just think there's just too many teams for them to pass.
Yeah, if you look at the math, I mean, I think it's if to get to 91 points, which this year probably gets you in. It's actually a point less than it qualified last year, but almost assuredly gets you in. I think they can only drop one game the rest of the year. I mean, you look at some of the other teams, like the Caps, that they can drop. They could drop two or three, and, you know, Wings can drop two or three. And, you know, that's more reasonable this time of year. Obviously, I don't think any team right now is going to get in below 500 finishing the season just because of the number of teams there. But, I mean, I think Pittsburgh just got to thread a really small needle. And I think also the thing with the Islanders is going to be tough is those loser points are going to come back to haunt them because they're going to lose almost every tiebreaker. You know, their regulation wins is well below Philadelphia and Washington, mm-hmm. Detroit. So that's going to really, they're going to have to not only catch a team in points, they're going to have to pass them, which obviously with only, you know, a dozen points left on the table, that becomes a little trickier.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's going to be a fun and wild ride towards the end of the regular season, which wraps up around the 18th and the playoffs start April 20th. Ted Starkey, Newsday down in Washington, covers Washington Capitals. Great to have you on the Full Press NHL podcast today.
Awesome, man. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, guys, get this. iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, Full Press Hockey Podcast up on YouTube. Take care and enjoy the rest of the regular season.
Barry Trotz, Nashville Predators, making sure you're listening to Full Press Hockey Podcast.